This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair with this week's edition of Issues of the Environment. Today, we're going to refocus on the 1,4-dioxane plume emanating in an expanding plume from the old Gelman Sciences facility on Wagner Road in Scioto Township. Its groundwater contamination has continued to spread over the decades, and local efforts to move from plume treatment to actual cleanup have been met with barrier after barrier. Our guest today has been working on this issue for years and continues to advocate for full remediation and cleanup. Roger Rail is co-founder and chair of Scioto Residents for Safe Water and serves as chair of the Coalition for Action of Remediation of Dioxane, or CARD as it's called. And Roger, thank you so much for joining us again.
Nice to talk to you again, David.
What can we say definitively about the spread of the plume as we talk today?
It's still spreading.
There are going to be more monitoring wells installed, but wells that are independent of the court-ordered stations that Gelman and its current owner, Danaher Corporation, are mandated to have, correct?
I think you're talking about the city's plan to have a few wells on the northern border.
Correct.
Yes. Those plans expected to take a couple of years to be implemented.
Where will these wells be placed, and why were those locations chosen by the city?
Basically, the consultant said, well, there's not enough data to fully model what's going on in the northern boundary. So they're going to use geology to estimate where the dioxane may be going, because it seems that in a couple other places of the plume, the groundwater flow tends to mimic the surface water tributary flows. And so in regards to that, they seem to be focusing on the northern tributary that's heading straight to Barton Pond, and they're going to have monitoring wells between that tributary, just kind of where Skyline School is, back to the known plume boundaries around Evergreen.
Based on what we know of the current court orders and where we stand in that whole legal process, if it's determined that the 1,4-dioxane plume is spreading beyond what we had thought, there really is no recourse at this moment outside of an expanded court order, correct?
Well, no, there's the action that a good deal of us want to see and been talking about for 2 or 3 or 4 years now is to get the EPA in to do a proper cleanup.
This is 89.1 WEMU and our Issues of the Environment conversation on an expanding 1,4-dioxane plume in the groundwater in the Ann Arbor area continues with Roger Rail. Roger is chair of the Coalition for Action of Remediation of Dioxane, or CARD. Danaher is the current owner of the Gelman property and the liable party for the dioxane plume. It has a subsidiary company called Trojan UV. That is a company that has proven it can fully remediate dioxane to zero detection levels. It's done it in Arizona. However, the current court order does not mandate full remediation, only treatment and monitoring, so that's not going to happen. You've mentioned that you would like to see the United States Environmental Protection Agency come in with a Superfund designation for this dioxane plume and fully clean this up. There has not yet been unanimous agreement to do that, if I'm correct.
That's right. Lawyers for the various interveners have wanted another 6 months to try to convince the company to do what they haven't been able to get the company to do in the prior 2 years. And the deadline for that is coming up December 12th. This was after a meeting, an unprecedented meeting, with all of the county commissioners, all of the Ann Arbor City Council people, and all the board members of Ann Arbor and Scioto Townships meeting together in a joint session. We thought they were going to come up with a letter to the governor, which is required for the governor to ask the EPA to come in and make this a USA Superfund site so that we can get a proper cleanup. This is after a year of preliminary investigation by the EPA, where they came in and indeed provided a lot more information about the site. And it meant the qualifications for it to be an EPA site, but they couldn't go any further than that until the local units and the governor asked the EPA to continue on. But everybody knows it's a Superfund-sized site, but it's just a small S. In a small S Superfund-sized site like this, the polluter has more control over how much cleanup is done rather than the regulators. The company, of course, doesn't want to spend any more money. You asked about the cleanup, the UV oxidation that Trojan UV is able to do. Again, that's a subsidiary of the parent company, Danaher. And indeed, that can treat to non-detect. But we already had evidence of that because Gelman used to treat to non-detect using UV oxidation at the Evergreen facility until the amount of dioxin heading there overwhelmed the small system that they had put in place. And rather than increasing the size of the system, scaling up, they chose to build a $2 million pipeline to run the purge water with dioxin back to the core where it didn't have to treat to non-detect. And then, of course, later on, they petitioned the state to allow them to use a different treatment technology that could not treat to non-detect, ozone oxidation, that would save them half the money. And the state said, okay. The problem with ozone oxidation is there's naturally occurring bromide in the water. So when you go through the ozone treatment system, you create a new carcinogen, bromate, and that's also discharged to the tributary to Honey Creek.
It compounds the problem.
Well, yeah. Why would you create a new carcinogen to save half the money when money is not supposed to be an issue in doing the cleanup?
Well, with that in mind, as the December 12th deadline approaches, what determination are we going to come to at that point?
Well, all of these joint meetings that they had in June and September will happen again in December. And again, they'll be public part of that meeting. And then they'll close part of the meeting where the interveners go into closed session with their lawyers who haven't been at any of the CARD meetings or SRSW meetings. And they will make a decision of what to do next. And there's every possibility that they'll delay it even more. And the more you delay this, the more the dioxin spreads, and you're kicking the can down the road. And, of course, that's exactly what the company wants them to do.
Issues of the Environment continues on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with Roger Rail. Now, Roger, Central Michigan University Professor Larry Lemke has been studying this plume and the dioxin contamination for a long time, and he's of the opinion if the plume crosses that M14 boundary, the underground contamination won't take long at all to reach Barton Pond, which, as you know, serves as Ann Arbor's municipal water supply. Are you in agreement with that assessment?
Yes.
What kind of time frame might we look for it to reach Barton Pond?
I wish we knew. Larry and his students a few years ago did a projection of how long it took dioxin, if it was released at Wagner Road, to travel the 3 miles east to the river. And the average time was 74 years to 351 years. That's just the average. The trailing time could be much longer. And with that kind of range, that's a game changer. None of the existing state regulatory rules and regulations are set to deal with that kind of time frame. In fact, the exposure time that the state uses to say what is acceptable levels of dioxin released, it's based on EPA, 1 in 100,000 risk of cancer over a 70-year lifetime, but the state uses a 32-year lifetime exposure. So they're not even getting close to the 74 to 351 years when they're looking at risk. Now, nobody's going to live 351 years, but people do live 74 years. And that make the state say, well, who would stay in one place longer than 32 years? Well, several of us here along Honey Creek have been here longer than 32 years. We're at more risk because the state's cleanup standards aren't as strict as other states and what the EPA standard would be.
Too much of this seems to be being played out in the realm of politics. Given what we are dealing with at the federal level when it comes to environmental protections, given the discourse and the discontent between parties in Lansing, is there the political will to adequately deal with this in any kind of timely fashion?
Well, that's up to the people. People that are fearful that Trump policies will prevail. But we have evidence, of course, that that's not happening. We have cleanup of dioxin at Superfund sites going on right now. And in my estimation, given the long time scale of dioxin and others, forever compounds like that, anything the Trump administration does is just a blip on that time scale. If bad decisions are made, those decisions can be undone in a matter of years. The EPA coming in is not going to come in tomorrow. They have to do their evaluation, but the evaluation could start tomorrow, and it might take a couple of years for it to be declared a Superfund site, but it's already been 3 years.
Do you look at the future through the lens of optimism?
Well, where's our can-do attitude in this country? I mean, water is pretty important. We're all about two-thirds water. Our brain is about 80% water. So how many of those brain cells do you want exposed to contaminants like dioxin?
We will leave it at that question and allow people to answer for themselves. I thank you so much for the time today, Roger.
Thank you, and I urge people to follow the news about this public meeting coming up December 12th. Thank you, David, for covering this. We'll talk to you as new things come up.
And we will look forward to it. That is Roger Rail, who heads up SIO Residents for Safe Water and serves as chair of the Coalition for Action of Remediation of Dioxin, or CARD, Issues of the Environment. It's a weekly feature produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner. You hear it each Wednesday. Again, I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.